I want to let you know that on Saturday, October 12th at 8 p.m. at Shakespeare Theater Company at Harmon Center for the Arts here in Washington, D.C., I'm going to be on stage with our great friend Sam Sanders talking about my book, Evie Drake Starts Over, and my experience as a first-time author. Joining us will be NPR correspondent Aarti Shahani, who just published the memoir, Here We Are, American Dreams, American Nightmares. You can get tickets now at nprpresents.org for that event. Again, it's on October 12th at 8 p.m. Summer is turning to fall where we are, and that means it's time for a couch, a blanket, and a book. And that means it's time for our fall book preview.
Fiction, nonfiction, essays, and memoirs. We've got some ideas for things you can read this fall, and we're bringing in a couple of our favorite book lovers to help us out. I'm Glenn Weldon.
And I'm Linda Holmes. It's time for fall reading on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Maybe you know David Diggs from Hamilton. He was in the original cast. Or from Kimmy Schmidt, or his movie, Blindspotting. He's also the MC in Clipping, a rap group that's always pushing boundaries.
We are constantly sort of trying a thing out and being like, does this equal a rap song?
That's on the next Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Welcome back. You just met NPR's Glenn Weldon. Also joining us is NPR Books editor Petra Mayer. Hey, Petra.
Hi there.
And also with us, we are always happy to see our friend, Weekend Edition Books editor Barry Hardiman. Hey, Barry.
Hi.
It's so good to have all of you here to talk about fall books. We're each going to recommend two books. They have to have come out between September 2nd of 2019 and December 31st, 2019. Either have come out or are coming out. I should mention, my book came out of Ballantine, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House. So just to make sure everything's completely above board, my picks are not from Penguin Random House, not just not from Ballantine, but nowhere in PRH. So just to be aware of that, so you know that I'm not just, you know, shilling for my folks. Anyway, Glenn, your first pick, I'm just going to tell you, is one I wanted to pick.
Oh, really?
But go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a Saeed Jones memoir, How We Fight for Our Lives, which came out this week, in fact, on October 8th. It's about growing up black and gay in the South. And if you hear that and you think, well, that sounds like homework, I assure you it is not, because this is gorgeously vivid writing. He's a poet, a pretty accomplished poet. So every so often you'll be tootling along and then you'll hit this sentence that is just so irreducibly clear and perfect that you just kind of takes your breath away. You have to back up and plow through it again. There's a lot about code switching, as you might imagine, in the book, and there's a lot about his mother. And the book switches between these very loving and attentive chapters about his mother to his coming out and his kind of throwing himself into sex. It also includes the first time somebody throws the F word at him. And there's a book about how racism and homophobia kind of trickle down and engender in him a kind of self-hatred, which makes him want to use others for sex and get used by others for sex. The other thing is that it's a slim little book. It's 200 pages. You will polish it off in an afternoon, but it is gorgeous writing. So that is How We Fight for Our Lives by Saeed Jones.
Yeah, I started this book and immediately was like, oh, well, this is unbelievably gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's one of those I quit writing kind of books where if you read too much of it, you want to quit writing. So again, that's How We Fight for Our Lives by Saeed Jones, and it is out now.
Yep.
All right. Barry Hardiman, give me your first pick.
So I am a huge John le Carré fan. And so, knowing that a new John le Carré thriller was coming out was really great news for me. And I loved this one. It's called Agent Running in the Field. It comes out this month. And I don't think it's any secret that le Carré has been really concerned over the last four years, about two things, the election of Donald Trump and Brexit. This book is concerned with both of those things. However, it is told in typical Le Carré fashion in this beautifully vivid way where he really, really knows his people. It follows the story of Nat, who is a secret intelligence officer who, as you may have heard this one before, takes one last assignment.
There you go.
Definitely gonna be his last.
Yeah.
Exactly. He takes command of a substation in London called Haven. He thinks it's going to be a sleepy assignment. Spoiler alert, it is not. I will not go into the twists and turns, of which there are many. The story story is told with the same kind of tension that Le Carré does, which I did not even know that I was a person who loved spy novels until I really, really delved into his books. And this one also, I think, looks very, very carefully and wisely at the state of the world now. And in a world in which we have, you know, senators saying they do not trust, for instance, our mm-hmm. intelligence services, to hear from the inside, obviously this is a British intelligence service, but to hear from the inside of that and the kinds of decisions that are made and what it means to believe in a world order of any kind is a really interesting project to interrogate yourself on at this moment. So highly recommend John Le Carré, Agent Running in the Field.
I might have to read that one, Barry.
You might have
to. You did a good job selling it. All right, Patra, you're up.
Yeah, so every year there's one book that I force all my friends to read. And this year, it's out now, so you can read it now, and you should. It is Gideon the Ninth by Tamsin Muir. And I kind of have been very reductively describing it as lesbian necromancers in space.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
But this is a book that I love on a number of levels. And the first is the way that it superimposes the sublime and the ridiculous. I'm just going to read you the opening sentence here. In the myriadic year of our Lord, the 10,000th year of the King Undying, the kindly Prince of Death, Gideon Nav packed her sword, her shoes, and her dirty magazines, and she escaped from the House of the Ninth.
I love it already.
Yeah.
Love it already.
It's a beautifully drawn world. It's a crumbling galactic empire. That's always fun. And it's divided into nine houses, each with a separate function. And the ninth house are kind of the goth. They guard the locked tomb, which is a spoiler, so I'm not going to explain it. But basically, they run around in sweeping black robes and corpse paint, and they're very grim and gloomy. And Gideon is a character who's a foundling. She was taken into the House of the Ninth as a child and kind of raised in servitude. And she's very snarky. So you see the book through her eyes. And the thing that I particularly love is that all of the characters that you care about, the two protagonists, the big bad, most of the supporting characters, they're all women, but you don't notice it after a while. Mm-hmm. They're not written in a gendered way. Mm-hmm. They're not strong female characters. They're just incredibly strong, incredibly interesting characters who are women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Petra. That's Gideon the Ninth by Tamsin Muir. It is very much in my wheelhouse to say that I am very excited to read the upcoming essay collection by Lindy West, which is called, awesomely, The Witches Are Coming.
Mm-hmm.
Lindy West is a terrific writer. Her book, Shrill, is the basis for the series Shrill, which she also works on. I love reading her stuff when it is funny and when it is sensitive and when it is angry and when it is just biting. And I'm so excited. I have not read this collection yet, but I have it. I have the galley of it. And I am really looking forward to sitting down with it at some point when I just need some wonderful thoughts, both given to me and also perhaps expressed that I have already thought. Mm-hmm. She is wonderful at a lot of different things. And her writing is, in a very different way than Saeed Jones, but like Saeed Jones, is the writing is just, you'll find a sentence and just think, that's such a perfect way to say this particular thing. Mm-hmm. And it always makes me so, so happy. And she's very funny, and I'm delighted to read it again. It's called The Witches Are Coming, and that is out on November 5th. So Lindy West, very excited about that one.
Cool.
Glenn, you're up next with your pick number two.
Yeah. We stipulated going into this that it didn't necessarily have to be a book that you loved, but it's a book that you can't wait to talk about with people. And when this book comes out on October 29th, mm-hmm. I can't wait for the discussion that will ensue. It is Find Me by Andre Aciman, which is the sequel to Call Me by Your Name, a little thing called Call Me by Your Name. Now,
heard of it?
It's only sort of a sequel to Call Me By Your Name. And I was very frustrated with this book, I think because I had the wrong expectation going in. So I am going to do some service journalism here and modulate y'all's expectations because Elio and Oliver don't really meet in this book until the very, 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 very end.
For people not familiar,
sure.
Elio and Oliver are the two men who developed this. Elio is significantly younger.
He's 17 and Oliver's 24 at the time of their romance.
Right. And they have a romance. Then at the end, you kind of don't know what's happening to
right.
them next.
So the first half of this book is from the point of view of Elio's father. After his wife dies, he just starts creeping on a very young woman. Now, it's not creeping because she falls in love with him, too. But then the next quarter of the book is an old dude and a young man. And then the very last bit, like one-tenth, is two dudes relatively close in age. And it's like, do you not get that the thing that squicked a lot of people out about your first book was the age differential, right? Was the power differential there? You have an out now. You could set this book years later, have Elio and Oliver come together, and that 7 years becomes less of a thing, right? But no, he's like, hold my beer. Hold my Chianti, because I am going to double down on the creep factor. And newsflash, middle-aged straight men lust after young women. This is not a newsflash. This is not something that felt like a great need. The story had to be told. He is, I will say, still great at what the first book was great at, which is expressing the unspoken language between people, the stuff that you can pick up from people's looks, from their body language, from their expressions. What's going on beneath language is what he's exceptionally good at. And he also captures these great feelings of longing. I feel like I was promised hot man-on-man action, and it comes. But you have to wade through so much rampant, shameless heterosexuality that it's almost not worth it. So, I mean, I didn't dig this book, but plenty of people do. Kirkus Review said it's an elegant, memorable story of enduring love across the generations. Yuck. But, you know, that is Find Me by Andre Aciman.
All right. Thank you, Glenn. And Barry Hardiman, tell us about your next pick.
Well, I'm glad that we can move away from the rampant heterosexuality, because I now am going to recommend In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado, which is she is just one of my favorite writers. She wrote a collection of short stories called Her Body and Other Parties last year, which is these eight tales of these odd fairy tales. They're like kind of like an Angela Carter, but weirder. She's such a wonderful writer. And this is a memoir about an abusive relationship that she had with her girlfriend. They're short chapters, these little essays. What's wonderful about the way this is told is that it's structured in just this mind-bending way that is, I think, really innovative for a memoir. She really, really made me think very much about what it is like to be the victim of something that you never see anywhere. You know, queer women are not represented enough in culture, that, and particularly queer women that are being abused. So she didn't know how to feel about it when she was being stalked and abused by her girlfriend, because there was nothing that she could see. She did not see herself reflected.
And it's so loaded to talk about if you feel like your relationship
exactly.
is already not respected,
and so then. You're literally trapped in the dream house. So while she is telling the story of this relationship, she's also telling it through popular culture. There's this wonderful, you know, she looks very closely at two George Cukor films, one of which is Gaslight. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a bit about Star Trek: The Next Generation. I mean, it really has something for everybody, guys. And again, it's the kind of thing you're reading it, and all of a sudden, like a sentence will like flame up. And you are suddenly just have to go back and say, oh, that I never had a way to describe how that felt before, but she did it. It is a wonderful book. I recommend it to everybody. It is moving and it is innovative, and it is called In the Dream House. It's by Carmen Maria Machado. It comes out in November.
Thank you very much, Barry Hardiman. Petra Mayer.
Yeah, so the other thing that we talked about is that this doesn't have to be a book that I've read. And this
is
not one that I have read, but I'm really looking forward to it. And interestingly, we just heard this promo for David Diggs on Bullseye. And this book is called Ooh. The Deep by Rivers Solomon. And it is actually based on a track from Clipping, which is David Diggs' hip hop group. The track is also called The Deep. It was nominated for a Hugo Award. And it tells the story of an underwater society of sort of sea, partially human sea creatures who are the descendants of pregnant women thrown overboard from slave ships in the Atlantic, which is historically documented. I kind of see this book in weird ways as in conversation with The Water Dancer, which is also sort of mm-hmm. about water and memory and slavery and escape. And so this imagines this undersea community, and they're very happy because they can't remember anything. There's like one person in this whole community whose job it is to bear the memories, because otherwise they could not live if they knew the trauma of their origins. And so, you know, once a year or once every couple of years, this one historian, this memory bearer, has to come and give back the memories just for a little while so that these undersea creatures can understand where they came from just for a little while and thereby keep their history alive. And it's about how what happens when this one historian just can't handle it. And she flees, and then all kinds of things start happening.
Oh, wow.
So this was originally a song and a video, and like I said, it was nominated for a Hugo, and a senior editor at Saga Press said, oh my God, this would make a great book. So she got permission from Clipping, and she looked for an author, and she came to River Solomon, who a couple of years ago, they wrote a book called An Unkindness of Ghosts. I can't wait. It's out in November. It looks like it's going to be amazing. Again, that is The Deep by River Solomon, based on a David Diggs track.
Petra, you have brought the most interesting books. You all have.
Agreed. I'm excited to hear
you
that.
You all have. All right. And my second pick is one that I borrowed this pick from our producer, Jessica Reedy, who told me that she has been reading this book. It is out on October 15th, and it's called Your House Will Pay. It's by Steph Cha. And it is a book about sort of two different acts of violence, one of which is a shooting of a young Black girl that is roughly kind of inspired by the case of Latasha Harlins, if you're familiar with that, who was shot by a Korean-American shopkeeper. The book sort of has a couple of different acts of violence that resonate with racial questions and questions about police violence. It has, I think, a lot of, it sounds from the description, and again, this is a recommendation for a book I have not gotten to yet. I'm waiting for my galley. I think that it resonates with current events and also sort of past history. It delves into both a family story and a couple of different sort of crime elements. It's, as I said, it's by Steph Cha, who has written detective novels in the past. And I'm always interested in how genre writers and genre fiction dive into and live beside real things going on in the world. Because I think whether it's sci-fi or noir or romance or whatever, you always can find echoes of what are the anxieties and what are the questions and problems. And I think sometimes those are more implicit. And I think in this book, it sounds like they're somewhat more explicit. I'm very excited to read this book. This is very much my kind of, I like crime fiction. I like noir fiction. And I think it's a combination of, it seems like it's a combination of those things and sort of commentary on race and violence and other things that that I think are very much top of mind for a lot of us right now. So again, that's called Your House Will Pay. It's by Steph Cha, and it's out October 15th. So we do want to hear about all the books that you are excited about this fall. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. We will also link to all the books recommended today in the Pop Culture Happy Hour newsletter, which you can subscribe to at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And you can subscribe also, we should mention, to the NPR Books newsletter that Petra writes every week at npr.org/books newsletter. That brings us to the end of our show. You can follow Barry at B. Hardiman and Petra at Petramatic. Thanks to all of you guys for being here and talking about books with me.
Thank you so much.
Happy about a season of reading. And we will see you all back here on Friday when we'll chat about the Netflix series, The Politician.